Call.
Director Austin.
Here.
Director Joyce Sonnison.
Here.
Director Villa.
Here.
Vice President Rose absent, and President Gibson.
Here.
Ms. Cassioli, I did hear that Vice President Rose is on her way, so she should be here shortly.
Okay, do we have any volunteers that want to lead the flag salute?
I'm happy to do it today, President.
Okay.
Everyone stand as able. Again, I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so we have agenda review. Do any of the directors have any changes to make or comments on that?
No.
Okay. Okay, then we'll take public comment for items not on the agenda. Not on the agenda. Welcome.
That happened fast. My name is Paul Bischoff. I am a builder and real estate broker, and I represent a guy who purchased a property in Oceano. And long story short, there was a bill from the district for the previous owner, and then there was some delay in paying it. It still hasn't been paid. It ended up getting on the tax bill. Kind of misunderstanding about if it should have been on the tax bill or not, if it should have been a lien or not, you know, that kind of thing. And so I'm here to ask if there's a way that I can get copies of all the past bills so that I can represent my client well and we can kind of deduce who owes what, whose name was on the accounts, you know, kind of retrace the past. Mm-hmm. And the agent that represented the seller, had a email conversation with staff, and I don't know if they got anywhere with that, but so I'm asking for that, if that's a possibility to get copies of those bills, then it'd be super helpful for me to be able to then, you know, go back in history and be able to figure out who was what. So thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else?
Yeah, that's not an issue. Just to be clear, we can provide copies of the past bills. Ms. Cassiola is the person in contact with that request.
Hi, Charles Varney, Oceano. And first of all, I wanted to just give a plug for the reverse 9/11 calls. We're in the winter season, you know, there's always possibilities of floods and summer fires, and the reverse 911 program is run by the county sheriff's department, and all you have to do is go to reverse911.com and sign up for it. And if there's an emergency in the area that you live in, you'll be notified automatically by phone or text or email. You have, or all three, you have a choice to put down there, and it's real easy to do. So talking to the people in the room and talking to the people that are watching on television, get signed up with that. It's the easiest way to get notification for actions that you need to take quickly in case of an emergency. The second item is, and this has to do with SLOCOG and the half cent sales tax. I was at a presentation at VACO, and James Worthy was there, or Worth. And I can't remember, has he done a presentation for CSD recently?
No, sir, he has not. He did provide two to VACO, and he's done them throughout the county for other organizations, yeah.
So, you know, I think it would be useful for Oceano residents to know more about it, and these meetings are televised. One change from the last time they proposed this, when they had line items for Oceano laid out, you know, we were going to get $2.5 million and stuff like that, they've changed that to a lump sum by region, or at least that's what they're proposing. And so we're going to be lumped in there with Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, Napomo, for you know, how that half-cent sales tax is spent in our area. I'd like to know more about that, and I think Mr. Worthy would be happy to come by and give us a presentation again and get it updated. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more public comment? Okay, seeing none, then we'll move to special presentations and reports, and Sheriff South Station, Commander McDale.
Good evening, John McDaniel, the commander at the Sheriff's South Station. So overall calls for service in the Oceano area were down compared to last year by about 10%, which is good. We've only had four batteries, three of them were domestic violence, 23 disturbance calls, one residential burglary, six suspicious circumstances calls, and probably about 20 to 25 enforcement stops, and a total of 19 arrests in the Oceano area for last month. For the entire year, our station had over 1,200 arrests for the entire year, for the entire area that the station covers. So a very busy station. If I'm available to call for any questions, if anybody has any.
Okay. Thank you, Commander McDill. Okay, and we don't have our fire chief, or we do. Okay. Fire Chief Hallett.
Good evening, members of the board. Scott Hallett, Fire Chief for Five Cities Fire Authority. Just want to say we are still very committed and happy to continue to serve the community of Oceano. Just some highlights of what's going on with the department. We've been extremely busy with our successional training. We have two new firefighters starting on Friday, and that'll fill all of our vacancies, and we'll be back at full staffing. You may notice in the coming weeks we're decommissioning our ventilation training prop, which was located at the Well 8 site here in Oceano. So that was a longtime training site that we used, and we have since purchased a new ventilation prop that is now located in Grover Beach. So we're going to be able to clean that site up. As for 2025 statistics, we responded to 631 calls for service in Oceano in 2025. 445 of these calls were medical responses with an average response time of 7 minutes and 24 seconds. Just to highlight, we had seven CPR-related medical calls where the patient was transported, meaning there were still viable signs of life for us to continue care. Average response times to those incidents were 5 minutes and 45 seconds. Average response times for all incident types within Oceano was 7 minutes and 40 seconds. So I'm available for any questions if you have them. Thank you.
Thank you, Fire Chief Hallett. And Mr. Maricino with our utilities systems.
Good evening, board. Tony Maricino, Utility Systems Manager. So Lopez is currently at 83.4% full, which is 41,288 acre feet. We had one sewer system overflow in November and one sewer system overflow in December. I will cover later in my report. Our surface water deliveries for the year was 608.88 acre feet, and we pumped 67.11 acre feet for the year, which is a total of 675.99 acre feet. So we are continuing to do our daily rounds, weekly, monthly samples. We had 21 work orders. We had 28 USAs, 18 customer service calls. We had six after hours callouts. One of them was for Honolulu for a potential sewer system backup overflow. And as the on-call operator responded, it was due to the rains and it was flooding in that area. They didn't quite understand stormwater or rainwater and sewer system overflow. So it's just puddling up over there on Honolulu. It's the island. We had another call out for Old Wands for low water pressure. Once the operator responded out there, it was due to their water softener. It hadn't been serviced or maintained, so it was actually restricting the water going into Old Wands Cantina. We had a call out for South 4th Street. It was a main break that happened on a Friday evening. Once we responded and got out there, it was a 6-inch water main that had the coupling, root intrusion, and it caused it to leak. So myself and two of the operators, Chris and Andreas, we responded to that, and we were out there until a little past midnight into Saturday morning, got that repaired. But during that evolution, our vacuum truck, the debris tank, it actually broke. So we currently do not have the capabilities to vacuum in an emergency during any water main breaks. We did rent a Vector truck for 2 weeks to continue with sewer cleaning. I just wanted you guys to be aware of that. And right now, we don't have a time frame when it's going to be fixed, so we cannot excavate in an emergency without any of the utilities marked. We had another call out on Christmas Day for the lift station that had a power failure. The other call out, we had our fifth call out was at 1348 16th Street for a backup for wastewater. Once the operator went out there, our main was fine. We told them they had to get a plumber because it was their sewer lateral. Actually found out Monday, the boring people that had been boring for the infrastructure for fiber optics actually hit the sewer lateral. So we found out about that Monday. And since then, they did repair the resident's sewer lateral due to the boring. We had another call out on SURF for no water. That house is actually divided up where they rent out a section of the house, and the renters that were moving out shut off the house valve and they weren't aware of it, and the on-call operator turned it on and instructed the homeowner where their house valve's at if they're ever out of water. So we had meter reads in November. We had re-reads and leak notifications, plus the common codes and meter changeouts after meter reads. We had a 2-inch blow-off on 25th and basin break, and it created about a 15-foot deep hole. We got that shut off, got it repaired. We backfilled with slurry, and then we have paved since then. The SSO in November, it was on Strand Way. There was a section of sewer main with only one house on it that had severe root intrusion, and we did free that up, and we will be doing the repairs in-house as soon as we get a little bit of time, but we have jetted it, and there's no roots. We camered. We continued to sewer jet with the rented Vector that we had for 2 weeks. Weed abatement at manhole access points for sewer jetting, which are on Jetty and Fountain to access the manholes. First of the month equipment runs and alarm function checks. The SSO on Highway 1 in December, that area, we had just sewer jetted that entire area on Highway 1 November 7th, and this SSO that occurred was December 3rd. And there's only one resident above where CHC ties into our sewer main right there. So once we broke it free, we could see a lot of rags coming in from CHC's line. And I did communicate with CHC to hopefully educate the employees and the people that are coming in using the restrooms not to flush rags down. We had a service line break on 14th Street that we had to completely replace. We backfilled with slurry, and since then have paved it. Arroyo Grande, City of Arroyo Grande, had a water line break that their Vector was down. We actually assisted them with vacuuming to access the water line that was broke for them. Weed abatement at Well 8. We did some concrete and asphalt dump runs for recycling. Myself and Chris, who I'll introduce here in a little bit, attended a 2-day distribution class. And since then, he has passed his distribution 2 license with the state. Cleaned out the lift station. So we formed up a pad that's 15 by 20 feet with rebar and poured it for our new shed that'll be coming in, a workshop. So that got poured, and we're on track with that. We started valve turning our system, door hangers for non-payments. And we actually started meter reading today again. And I know later on the agenda there's PFAS on there, but I just want to let you know that state PFAS was tested in our system, and we also participated in the EPA UCMR5 testing, which was quarterly done. Just to let you know, there was no PFAS detected. And any systems that are 10,000 and fewer must collect 2 samples, taken 5 to 7 months apart. And we did obtain that with the EPA testing. we just had to do a little communicating with the EPA and state because the database is not the same. And I just want to let you know, Well 8's motor, it did fail on Monday, or it was Tuesday. And luckily, we have one on the shelf. We got that replaced, and Well 8's up and running right now while we repair the other motor. Any questions before I introduce our new operator?
Can you just tell everybody what PFAS stands for?
Oh, that's a big word that I'm not too good at pronouncing.
So if you really want to know, it's per and polyfluoral alkali substances, but yeah. You don't ever have to say that. We call it PFAS because that word is so long. They call it forever chemicals. They're both mostly plastic derivatives that come from things like Gore-Tex clothes, Teflon pans. They're everywhere in the environment, as Mr. Maricino will tell you. Firefighting foam has a bunch of it, and it has become ubiquitous in the system. And so this is a new regulation at the federal and state level, and we are happy. And that's why that's in your written correspondences. We've tested the system in 2023. We did it multiple times in 2025, and we're negative. So this is part of our message for the community. We don't have any issues with PFAS, and we're continuing to monitor it.
Yes. So our one of our newest operators is here tonight. I'll introduce him. He actually came. We hired him. He already had a Class A, and he's bilingual. Chris Lomelli. I'm good at writing.
Hello, my name is Chris Lomelli. I am extremely grateful for the opportunity to serve the people of Oceano. I have been here about 6 months, and I am happy to say that I did pass the D2 test, and I am currently working on my T2, or T1 actually. So I'm happy to serve the community, and I am at your service as well. Thank you.
Thank you, and welcome.
Chris, before you step down, just real quick, I wanted to let the board know that we have two new operators, only one of which can make it tonight, so we'll introduce you to another operator at a future meeting. But for Chris to come to us, most recently with Lewis CMR School District, doing a lot of maintenance work and field work, he did not have direct water and sewer experience, but you wouldn't know that by the first 6 months he spent with us. He's picked everything up extremely quickly. I'm impressed in particular with his ability to study for and pass those complicated tests for his certification. He's done that in the first 6 months of employment, and we have high expectations for his continued success with the district. So thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Peter.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you local, or did you grow up around here? Or
I've been in the Five Cities for about 9 years, but I'm previously from Los Angeles. Okay. I do currently reside in Grover Beach.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, our general manager.
Thank you, President Gibson. I have a few items to run through for you today in my report, which, as I emailed you all today, I'm going to try to provide kind of a written summary of these for you as well. The first thing is I want to let the board know that staff and the public had a successful office closure over the holidays. The office staff got some time off. The utility operators continue to work and provide critical service. It does take some catching up to do, though, when you come back and there's a lot of payments to process and customers to service. And we pushed back, as we've been doing, our due dates to not have people have traditional due dates during the closure. An upcoming item for the board's adoption, hopefully in the next month, is the multi-jurisdictional hazard mitigation plan that's been completed by the county with its partner agencies, including OCSD. That is the plan that really looks comprehensively at all the potential hazards that we have to face and how we're going to mitigate them as a community. And it's a countywide plan with a specific chapter for Oceano in the back of that plan. And we'll talk about that next month. I've been working with the IWMA staff and their 20 member agencies on improving solid waste policy and input from franchise agreement holders like OCSD. And this has resulted in a new technical advisory committee in 2026 where solid waste providers will have more input on IWMA activities, policy, and budget allocations. So I'll be participating in that committee going forward. I'm also excited to announce that we've completed our waterline reconstruction project on the west side of Highway 1. The CIP project replaced 5 water lines on Truman, Strand, Utah, Mendel, and Railroad. The contractor's work and the district's investment in new infrastructure is complete, and we'll have more on this when the board approves the notice of completion at an upcoming meeting, but it's a major milestone. $600,000 of grant funded and about $150,000 of district match to make that project come to fruition. I continue to work with your utilities manager, Mr. Maricino, and Cannon to finalize an approach for several valve replacements, waterline abandonment and realignments on Railroad Avenue related to the new infrastructure on the west side of Highway 1. And I want to let the board know that Mr. Maricino was innovative in bringing forward a new InstaValve technology that was recently installed on a railroad waterline, which enabled us to hot tap a valve in a pressurized waterline and add a new valve that enabled us to turn off the water. We've never done that before. The AG crew came over, wanted to take a look at it because it was pretty innovative. Normally, you turn off a water line, you depressurize it, and then you put in a valve. We didn't have the ability to do that, and so we basically hot tapped, and it was pretty interesting to observe. And it's very functional for us. There remains a board-approved budget with MKN on our sewer CIP project. And we're working on expending some of that remaining budget for design work for our top priority CIP projects. And so stay tuned for that, because we'll likely be bringing that back to the board as well if we want to replace some of the worst conditioned sewer lines in the district. I wanted to give some kudos to the utility staff, who did an excellent job working on demoing various jetter and vector trucks. We're going to talk about that item later tonight, but typically, when you want to buy a big piece of equipment and you tell a manufacturer that, they say, oh, we'll have a demo. And they come here to this parking lot and they say, here's where the nozzle is, here's where the debris is, and here's the water tank, and they show you everything. Well, what our utilities crew said, well, don't just show it to us in the parking lot. We'll take your 90-minute demo, but go out in the field and show us how it pulls debris, enables us to excavate and replace a water line. Show us how it can jet our sewer system. So this is the first time that I've seen a crew proactively put the equipment to the test, and that helps us make really good decisions on what we want to invest in. So kudos to Tony and Chris and the guys for taking that extra step in evaluating that equipment. 4 or 5 more items here, and then I'll wrap up. At the request of DWR, staff has submitted a grant amendment to increase our Halcyon Kenmar consolidation grant from $9.4 million to $11.5 million in order to accommodate needed work on the rehab of our million-gallon tank. Stay tuned if we're successful in getting those funds augmenting for the Tank 2 rehab. NCMA has completed a strategic plan update, and that'll be coming to the board for your input and guidance in either our February or March meeting. And I think it'd be good to kind of dive into what NCMA has been up to, and I'll share that with the board and the public at a future meeting. I also attended a Zone 3 TAC meeting today, and on December 4th, I met with South County City Managers and Jeremy Gent to discuss regional water and wastewater issues so that all agencies are in sync with regard to projects, permits, and the sanitary district activity. So kudos to Mr. Gent for putting that meeting together and really bringing the city managers together to give us an update. The last major item that I wanted the board to be aware of is that late last year, the county and Zone 3 agencies won our appeal against the Lopez Environmental Species Act litigation, and the preliminary injunction ordered by the court a year ago has been fully vacated. That means that downstream releases from Lopez have been reduced from 7.9 cubic feet per second to 4.8. And the reservoir is still filling, even though our rains have stopped about a week and a half ago. A draft habitat conservation plan has been submitted and is undergoing regulatory review. All parties are moving forward towards settlement, which is what Mr. Schultz and I have been pushing for some time. And I've been nominated, along with 2 representatives from Rio Grande, to go to the first magistrate judge settlement discussion in LA on February 6th. So I plan to represent OCSD down there and do our best to kind of move the ball forward. And then the last thing I wanted the board to be aware of is I'm planning to be off for 2 weeks at the end of February after our next meeting for a family vacation. So I'm happy to take any questions on my report and apologize for the lengthiness. We just did have that 2 months between our last meeting, so I wanted to cover all the key issues.
I don't have a question, but it sounds like our utility guys got an A+.
They did.
They're red hot. We appreciate that.
And I told Chris after this item, he's welcome to go spend time with his family this evening because he has to be back to work early tomorrow.
Sure. Okay. All right. Any other comments or questions? Okay. All right. Let's move. Oh, okay. Sorry. Public comment.
Julie Tacker, and I might have missed it, but I thought I was listening closely. I was looking for waiting to hear about the pursuit of EV chargers in your parking lot over at the depot. I know I saw some records last week from the APCD, and that there has been some discussion with your director, Austin, and Mr. Brown regarding that matter, so maybe you could expand on that.
Didn't you talk about it here when we did it,
right? Yeah, I may have mentioned that.
I don't think she was here to hear that.
Yeah, I may have mentioned it the last meeting, but the latest is that the APCD is looking to invest in EV charging. They're evaluating the Oceano Depot site for potential EV charging. The initial evaluation didn't look that promising because I don't think there's enough power in the existing system, so some level of PG&E augmentation of power would need to happen. So right now it's in the holding pattern, and there's no significant news on it.
April Dury, I wanted to know if the officer representing the sheriff could maybe answer a question or tell me, if no one else cares, if there's been any ICE activity within Oceano specifically and or potentially in the county that you're aware of at all.
It's in this year.
Do you want to allow that?
I couldn't understand what she's
saying. If there's been any ICE activity.
Oh. If you can keep it simple.
Yeah, so I'm not aware of anything specific, at least recently, other than there's been a lot of incidents at the county jail. So they're typically picking people up from the county jail. I know that talking to some of the people with ICE probably about a year ago, with the limitations that California set on our ability to, for their ability to pick people up from the facility, they don't always get held even if somebody got arrested. So if they could put a detainer, but we don't actually follow that detainer, and the person will still be released. And so that's why times they've been waiting outside of the jail. There's other times where they will be held according to state law. We're able to hold them for them to be turned over due to previous convictions. But there's nothing that I'm aware of in the recent past at all.
Yeah. I will let the board and the sheriff commander know that staff did receive report of ICE agents here at the OCSD during one of the Care for Paws veterinary clinics. We did not hear that any action was taken, but that ICE was observed on the premises or around, but nothing other than that.
Okay, thank you, Commander. Okay, any other public comment? Okay. Let's bring it back. And Board of Directors for report on our outside committees. So for myself, I have a Zone 3 meeting tomorrow. Other than that, I have nothing to report. Vice President Rose. Director Austin?
Yes, I attended the South San Francisco County Sanitation District meeting. And the first thing on our agenda was the contract for the coastal hazard monitoring with Renton Consultants.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And what? This is part of the Coastal Commission permit that was part of the redundancy program that after that we had to monitor all the monitor all the environmental things around the sewer plant. And so we hired that monitoring for $85,409. And then there's on their plant report, there was the plant ran perfectly through Christmas and New Year's with all the rain. There was no, it was all normal. We'll be getting the audit of our financials on their March 4th meeting for presentation. And we're continuing to coordinate and communicate with the City of Grover staff regarding ongoing city sewer improvements. There's been a little issue with one of the drum thickeners on the new system, but they're continuing to troubleshoot and they're resolving it right now. So it hasn't resulted in any process or treatment issues. There's been no other issues with the new plant. And there were no violations of the district's pollutant discharge elimination system permit for the month of November to December 31st. And that's it. That's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Director Austin and Director Villa.
Yes, I attended the RAC meeting December 3rd. At this meeting, we received an update on SB 552, also along with our manager, Peter Brown. I don't know if you didn't speak on this, because I'm going to speak on it. SB 552 has various requirements for small water systems with less than 3,000 connections. And the two main requirements are a standing drought force, which we now have in our county, and it's made out of several divisions of public works. The other requirement, main requirement, is a drought and water shortage plan. And this plan is almost, I would say, 97% complete. It's almost complete. You could find more details on its components on the website and public works, under public works. And they also announced the two agencies that will be awarded the round two for Prop 1 recommendation for the funds, and one was a Heritage Ranch, who more likely will receive $492,930, and the City of SLO for $507.70. I don't know how they got the 70, but yeah, those two. I also yesterday attended the OPARC meeting. And that meeting, we discussed the CDBG Preventive Health Grant. And I apologize, I forgot what CDBG stands for. Can you help me there?
Community Development Block Grants.
Okay. And that will be due January 22nd. So if we're going to apply for it, we need to get going. And we also discussed all the other potential grant options. We reviewed the OPARC unexpended budget for the up to the June 30th, and we now have only, we project that we will only have by then $4,877. In the beginning, we had $16,489, so it is kind of costly to operate. So we will be discussing ways of fundraising and obtaining other funds to keep on going. We also discussed the three main goals for the upcoming fiscal year, and those being one, that Oak Park members support each other in the committee and cooperate in a positive manner. Two, to determine a course of action to transition to an independent nonprofit. And three, of course, the most important one, one of the most important ones, to seek grants and other funding sources so that we can keep on going and hopefully partner with OCSD on an as-needed basis. That's it.
I just had a question. What kind of grants would we be eligible for through CDBG?
That's a good question, President Gibson. So they have what they call a preventative health grant category. And we were successful a couple years ago getting $25,000, which ended up being the seed money for the track at Oceana Elementary School. So typically CDBG money goes towards affordable housing and homelessness issues, but they do have this one category for preventative health. And it does have some carve outs for park and recs type activities and projects.
Thank and you. There's also probably other grants out there
that absolutely.
We could look into.
Yeah, especially if it's about parks. Okay. Okay, thank you, Director Villa and Director Joyce Sonneson.
The California Association of Special Districts is having their annual meeting on the 22nd of July, and I'll be attending that. I'm sorry, of January, and I'll be attending that. and that's pretty much all I have to report.
Where is the meeting located? Is it local?
It'll be in SLO.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I actually sent
anyone on the board can
attend. I sent the board an email probably yesterday letting you know that on Thursday of next week at 5 o'clock at Cafe Roma by the railroad station in San Luis Obispo is their event. I attended last year. I think Ms. Cassiola attended it. It's a good event, and really you know, there's officers for the CSDA for the San Luis Obispo chapter, and we talk about annual activities for special districts. So come if you're interested, let me know. So reply to my email. I know Beverly's interested, so you're in.
Okay. We'll take public comment on these presentations and report.
Dare I touch it? Sometimes it does that big pop thing. Julie Tacker and Linda didn't mention it, and maybe you don't know, but I learned that the former plant manager from the sanitation district has passed away. John Clemens was a great guy, a great operator. He was a grade five operator. This plant doesn't need grade five, but he worked very hard for your community. He was a neighbor here in Oceano. He was instrumental in the John Wallace conflict of interest discovery and then the prosecution after that. He was extremely helpful in getting that district back in shape, and he's gonna be missed. And you guys know him, some of you, and I didn't know if you were aware, but it's a great loss. So just wanted to let you all know.
Okay. Thanks for sharing that information.
I was not aware.
Charles Varney. I attended the sanitation district meeting last week. I was the only member of the public that was there. And I was glad to see the district following up on an update to the plan. And this is, as Director Austin pointed out, mandated by the Coastal Commission as a condition of the sanitation district having an operating permit for their redundancy project. And because the Coastal Commission has mandated that the district plan for the potential relocation of the entire treatment plant. One point that I followed up in a letter to the district was that to make sure that they included the hazard of Lopez Dam failing or the spillway at Lopez Dam failing, because that would send unbelievable walls of water down through the Rio Grande Valley, flooding us out 70 feet high in a Rio Grande, almost 30 feet high at 22nd Street, all the way up into Pismo Beach. And so any newly relocated sanitation district would have to be built to out of the away from the threat, high enough to not be flooded out in a catastrophic failure, which would probably be caused by an earthquake, if that ever happened. But you have to plan for the worst and, you know, hope for the best. And I did that because that is not included in the scope of work for the $90,000. And I've learned that a lot of people, a lot of elected people, a lot of, you know, staff people in the county don't know that the Coastal Commission has this mandate out and that they have to be looking at potential relocation. So since the sanitation district is responsible for this hazards report, it's really essential that the dam also be included in it. And I CC'd staff at the Coastal Commission to that point. I was happy to have the opportunity to make those comments to the district. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, we'll move to the consent agenda. Does any directors want to pull something or? No?
Yeah, no, that's it.
President Gibson, I just want to make one quick note on uh-huh. the consent agenda. We did change the format slightly of the information we're providing. It's actually the same information. We're using a program to generate the report automatically as opposed to doing a lot of manual cutting and pasting. So we're saving on staff time and frustration, but providing the same information to the board. And so you may or may not notice any differences, but that's included in this report for the consent.
Okay, thank you. Okay, since we're not going to pull anything, let's take public comment on the consent agenda. Okay, and seeing no interest, bring it back to the board. Discussion or issues?
No. I'll make a motion that we approve the consent agenda as presented.
Okay, we have a first.
I second.
And a second. And can we have roll call, please?
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
Vice President Rose?
Yes.
And President Gibson?
Yes. Okay. So we'll move to business items, and our general manager can discuss number A, the truck.
Absolutely. President Gibson, members of the board, we have five business items. They're all action items, so we're going to be asking everyone to vote tonight on each of these five items. The first one is consider and adopt a resolution to authorize staff to finance a water and sewer system jetter and vacuum truck from Hacker Equipment at the cost of $652,000. This is a big investment for the district. If you recall, we finished our sewer CIP analysis last year. We ran that through our Oceano Capital Improvement Committee. We got some good constructive feedback from them. We brought the final version to the board. We got board buy-in for that. And the number one CIP need for our sanitary district, which happens to have a lot of repercussions for our water utility, is the acquisition of a new Vactor truck. And that's what this staff report really gets to the heart of. Our 2013 Pipe Hunter is trailer pulled. It has 500 gallon water tank instead of 1,000, which the new vehicle will have. It has a smaller debris hold. And really, and Mr. Maricino mentioned it tonight, it's not currently working. It's hard to get parts for. It's hard to get it repaired. It's not really serving the district well. And we've made great use of it for the past decade or so. But its useful life has come to an end. And so part of my general manager report earlier was kudos to staff for the thorough evaluation they did in determining what truck is going to fit our needs. And we believe that the Hacker provided Vactor is the one that's going to meet all of our needs. And we also believe that about 65 or 70% of the cost should be allocated to the water utility, because we're going to use it more for excavating water lines, repairing sewer laterals than we will for sewer system maintenance and cleaning. When we do the sewer system maintenance and cleaning, we expect it to be a 3, 4, 5-fold increase in efficiency, just because the new truck is going to have so much more capacity to jet and to clean our system than our existing equipment. Mr. Maricino and I are here to answer any questions that you may have. I wanted to include some photos of the new equipment, as well as a side-by-side of the trailer-pulled jetter versus the new equipment. And this is actually the rental that's in the photo. Had we not had that rental, we'd have been in a really tough spot trying to meet our sewer system management plan requirements for cleaning our sewer system. Big investment for the district. We can afford it. We're in a good place with our current rates. And I guess the last thing I'll point out before I conclude, this was anticipated when we looked at our water rates, so this shouldn't impact rates. Our current five-year rates can absorb this. And I also anticipate that with a 20% down payment and financing over the 4 or 5 year period, we will have paid off the equipment during this rate period, so it wouldn't spill over in any future debt in a future rate study that may be needed. And just by round numbers, if the board today authorizes pulling the $92,000 out of the water fund for the initial down payment, the sewer system's already been budgeted, so there's no adjustment needed there. Our water reserves would go from 2.3 million to 2.2 million, so, and growing. And so the reserves are still trending in the right direction. So happy to take any questions from the board, and we'll be looking for an action and your support tonight.
Yeah, I think that's the best part, that, you know, it doesn't affect our rates at all. And so I think that was very good on your part to stay ahead of everything and figure that in, our costs. So are you going to show some pictures?
Just the ones I put in the report. So
okay, yeah.
I could have put them up on the slide if I was thinking ahead of time, but page 31 and 32 of the board packet shows the photos, and Carrie's going to try to scramble to get some up while you all deliberate, and maybe we go to public comment. We can show a few of the photos on the screen.
I just say that I'm excited. This is really good deal for us. All the reasons you said.
Yeah.
You know.
So yeah.
What
and
happens
our,
to the old equipment?
Good question. So there's a couple different options. A lot of times we'll surplus it and we'll try to get rid of it. In speaking with the guys, it doesn't cost a lot to just keep it in the yard. And in the event that our new Vactor needs servicing, or for some reason that needs a part replaced, we'll have a backup on hand. It's not really worth much on the open market because it's so old. So in speaking with Mr. Maricino and the utility operators, their idea is park it in the back of the yard, use it on a rainy day if we need it, don't use it if we don't need it. And yeah, that's the current plan.
Thank you.
What year was that built?
It's a 2012, I believe, or 2013.
Wow.
Yeah.
Things have changed.
Yeah.
It looks so wimpy.
It's got the truck in it.
Yeah, it's one like unit. And if you've ever tried to back up a boat, yeah, or drive it around a corner, the trailer operated is a lot more difficult than a single unit. So.
Well, it's just gonna save so much money too, having the right equipment and not, yeah, having to
go back and forth.
Go back and forth,
yeah,
and all that.
That's gonna be huge.
Yeah, it's a great investment. I think it's wonderful. We gonna order it now?
Well, if we get authorization from the board tonight, we will work on the financing and get it ordered and spec'd. And there's a long lead time on these. It's not like getting a Honda Civic off the lot in a Rio Grande. It's probably, you know, 6 months out before we get it in. So we need to move on it. Thank you, Ms. Cassiola, for putting up the old one and the new.
What a difference.
Yeah. And that boom, if you just to kind of go over what a couple of these things are, the silver tank that runs long along the bottom. That's the water tank, and this has a 1,000-gallon capacity to go out and do any amount of cleaning we need to do. The white big cylinder, that's the debris box, and we're looking at a 10-yard debris box, which is significantly more capacity to pull in debris, to excavate, without having to go to the yard to dump it, to keep doing your work. And that long white with a black end that goes down around the nose of the vehicle, that's the boom, and that's the big vacuum that you can put if you need to pull out stormwater, reduce flood water, excavate a hole. You can do all that with that boom, and that pulls the debris into that big debris container. And then the last thing I'll point out is the hose reel. I don't know if it's 750 or 1,000 feet, Tony, that we're looking at? 800 feet. Wow. So that orange hose is basically the jetter, and that's the primary equipment that we use to clean the sewer system, push out any backups, and it has 800 feet of hose that we can put down any of our sewer systems to flush and clean. And so I think in every aspect, it's a big upgrade of what we have.
Yeah, I think it's an investment in improved service, so
yeah.
I think it's good news. Okay, so let's take public comment on this. Okay, seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board and entertain a motion.
I'll move that we approve the purchase of the new Vector machine.
A second.
First and a second. Roll call, please.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Vice President Rose?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
And President Gibson?
Yes. Okay, that's great news. Okay, so action B, General Manager.
Thank you, President Gibson. Item B, 8B is authorizing the General Manager to approve and execute an extension of the real property lease with the Village Group. The Village Group holds meetings at a back room of the old Oceano Firehouse that's on the corner of 13th and Highway 1 at Front Street. There is a room back there that, unlike the rest of the building, which stores, I think there's an old truck still in there, and there's a bunch of old files in there, this particular component of the building is a functional meeting room that is used quite regularly for meetings that the Village Group holds, including AA meetings for the community. And they don't make a lot of money. They deal a lot with volunteers and donations. And what we did in this particular 5-year lease term is we're proposing a minor raise in the actual cost per month. And the way I calculated that change was I went back to 2003 when we started. It was a $700 a month lease at that time. And I calculated with the cost of money and inflation, how much would $700 be worth today in 2025, actually end of last year. And it comes out to about $1,233. So this is essentially, in real dollars, the same price that we were charging in 2003. Ms. Miller of our staff ran it through the Village Group folks, and they had no issues or complaints with the lease terms. It would be 60 payments of $1,230. I think the total amount coming into the district is $73,800. A portion of that money we are going to need to use to fix a storm drain during the heavy rains. Maybe it was the first storm in November more than the Christmas rains. Mr. Marchino noticed that the water was coming up and threatening to enter this meeting room that we're talking about. And he cameraed that storm drain lateral, and it had some root intrusion and some defects. And so we're looking to get a design together to get that storm drain replaced, because we need to do it. Otherwise, we may have reoccurring flooding at this location. So as you all know, we can't use our water and sewer utility for things like building maintenance that aren't related directly to the district. So we'll use some of this general fund and revenue from the rent to pay for that improvement.
Okay. Any questions from the board?
No questions.
No. Okay.
No.
Okay, I'll take public comment. Okay, and seeing none, bring it back to the board. Entertain a motion.
I move that we what is it, renew the lease?
Renew the lease, yeah, or approve staff recommendation.
With the Village Group executed extension of their lease.
Okay, we have a first.
A second.
And a second. Roll call, please.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
Vice President Rose?
Yes.
And President?
Yes. Okay. Okay, then we'll move to our action item C about our last payment of divestiture, right?
Yes, thank you, President Gibson, members of the board. Item 8C, we have a resolution to approve the amendment to the district's CalPERS agreement for the district's safety plan. So this is the retirement plan that was related to the Oceano Fire Department, which provided service before the district merged with the Rio Grande and Grover Beach to create Five Cities Fire. So just a quick recap, I know we went over this in November, but as you know, we went for two special taxes. They both did not pass. Then in 2023, we passed a resolution to divest our fire services to the county, which we were successful doing during most of 2024. Many agreements were established, our property tax agreement, our property transfers agreements, our two leases for this building and the sheriff's building. And then it was approved by LAFCO in November 2024. So this CalPERS agreement, this is, remained with the district. This is unlike the CalPERS liability that the district passed on to the county with the divestiture process. So to close out the safety plan, we first had to request our final termination report, which is attached to this agenda item. Then again, in November at our last meeting, your board passed resolution 2025-15, and that was to indicate our intention to amend and close this CalPERS safety plan. That was transmitted to CalPERS, and now we have the final resolution authorizing an amendment to our CalPERS contract, and that is also attached to this agenda item. The termination report that we had to request from CalPERS, this included our unfunded liability, which is the payment we must make to CalPERS. So this payment will continue to pay the, there's about eight retirees that remain in that plan. That total will be $189,270. So that will require a budget adjustment out of our general fund. And that will leave the general fund with about $27,440 after we make this budget adjustment. The resolution, the amended contract, and the payment will then be submitted to CalPERS, and we will be done with the pretty much the divestiture with any other follow-ups with the existing contracts. So with that, if there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them, and then if not, I can take notes on any changes or amendments.
I think the important thing about this is it's the final right?
One.
So.
And we're not too concerned about the general fund. That's going to come back.
Well, a couple things about that. So it's a little concerning to me that our general fund balance goes down to 27,000. On the flip side, we don't have a lot of options. We kind of owe this money and we have to pay it. The positive side of the coin is that we do get our 3.85% property tax transfer from the county still. So this general fund will begin to rebuild again as we get the property funds transferred from the county. And that will remain our primary source for paying for and maintaining our streetlight system. So our hope is that this is kind of the low point for the general fund and we can begin to build it back up a little bit. I think last year we received maybe 8,000 more than we expended. But we didn't do any capital improvements on the streetlight system. All we did was pay the electricity bills. So that's the long answer. The short answer is we're not too concerned about the balance.
Okay. Any other comments? No? Okay, we'll take public comment. Okay, it doesn't look like we have any public comments. So we'll bring it back to the board.
I'll just make a motion that we
you can say approve staff recommendation.
Approve staff recommendations.
There you go.
Instead of reading all that to pay that.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. It's so long.
It had to be very specific for CalPERS.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's for CalPERS.
Yeah.
approve the budget general fund reserve payment of $189,270 to the CalPERS.
And
adopt the resolution. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, we have a first and a second. Roll call.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Vice President Rose?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
And President Gibson?
Yes.
Okay, good. That's something we can never have to remember again. Okay. All right. And then, so item D, our committees.
Committees, yes. President Gibson, members of the board, we are now on 8D, and I wanted to take a moment to talk about this copy of the Brown Act that Mr. Schultz has provided us. And we talked about this a little bit at OPARC, and I'll give the same spiel tonight that I did yesterday. The preface is worth reading, as is the entire Brown Act when you really want to get into the weeds. But the preface talks about SB 707, which was a new law that was passed last year. It mandates for the first time that a local agency provide every elected and appointed legislative body member a copy of the Brown Act. And so we're meeting that requirement tonight, and we're handing them out to OPARC and to OSIP. Those are our three Brown Act committees, and it really always is good for a refresher. And I know Mr. Schultz gave us a PowerPoint presentation probably middle of last year on the nuts and bolts of it, and it's always good. We may do that again in the next year or two, just to kind of refresh us all high level on what the Brown Act means and why we all need to comply with it. But take your copy, and there's some up here as well for us to meet that new state law. So this ties in well with what we're up to, which is revisiting our committee assignments. And we have two other actions that we're hoping to take from the board. One is the election. Typically, we do this in December, but we didn't have a December meeting, so we're doing the election of a board president and a vice president. And then the third piece wrapped in here is President Gibson has requested to step down from the Oceano Capital Improvement Committee, and we're looking for a replacement of that seat from a board member. So we can tackle all of that right now via the committee assignments. Or if the board pleases, you can tackle the president, vice president at the beginning. It's up to you. But at some point, we're going to walk through the committee assignments and get confirmation from the board about your assignments.
Anybody have a preference?
I don't care.
Yeah. Dealer's choice.
Okay. let's go through the committees real quick. So let us know if there's any desire to change or to keep. I'm going to go ahead and assume that for the South County Sanitation District, Director Austin for the lead and Director Gibson for the alternate. I assume that's going to want to stay the same. Any thoughts? I see nods of heads. Okay. If there's any discussion, we can have it. For the RAC, Director Villa and I have been going. Actually, this might be the old one. Yeah. No worries. And I assume this will stay the same. And I wanted to point out to Director Villa that for voting on this, the county requires you to be there in person. There hasn't been a lot of votes or a lot of need to attend in person. But if I'm there, I can vote. If you're Zoomed in, you can't vote. Just an FYI, if there's an item you really want to cast a vote on, make sure you attend in person. But I appreciate that you've been taking notes and attending all those meetings. The Regional Water Management Group had some meetings this year, and that was to reallocate the $1 million that Pismo Beach was no longer eligible for. And Director Villa did a good job of recapping the fact that about half of that money went to Heritage Ranch and half went to the city of SLO. I don't anticipate a lot of activity from the Regional Water Management Group in the upcoming year, but I will drag Director or Vice President Rose to one of those meetings if they happen. Zone 3 has been President Gibson and Director Joyce Sunnison as the backup, and that committee meets quarterly. Is that true, President Gibson?
No, we meet...
Is it monthly?
Yeah.
Monthly, okay. And I assume you're still interested in that?
Yeah.
Okay. And then a couple more on here, the state water subcontractors. I believe Vice President Rose is backing me up on that, and I promised to drag her to a future meeting there. Park and Recs has at least 6 more months, and I assume that Joyce Sunderson and Director Villa want to continue there. And then the big ticket item, since we don't have a finance and budget committee anymore, is the OSIP committee. And I know President Gibson has requested to step down, and so let's just tackle that right now. Is there anyone who is interested in the Oceano Capital Improvement Committee to take the position that was formerly held by President Gibson? I see a hand from Director Joyce Sunderson.
I originally submitted my request to be on that board, but at this time I'd like to pull that request and just go ahead and
Okay. You want to repeat
Director
that?
Director Sower Sunderson's to go ahead and take that position.
Okay. We'll take a vote on that.
It's on.
It's on. It's on.
Yeah, just...
What I stated was, originally I had put in a request to be on that CIP committee, and at this point I'm requesting to pull that request and turn the request over to Joyce Sunderson.
Okay. Director Austin is on the Capital Improvement Committee, and we have a request from Director Joyce Sunderson to be considered, and so if the board wants to make a nomination in a second, we can tackle this one right now.
I nominate Director Joyce Sunderson to be on that committee.
And I second.
Okay.
First, second. Roll call.
President Gibson?
Yes.
Vice President Rose?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunderson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
And Director Ott?
Yes.
Okay, good. So that was the critical one we needed to fill, and I did run through those pretty quickly, but I think right now I'll just open up that top section for any discussion or requests to maintain or change the setup.
I'm fine with the way it is myself.
Okay. All right, we're good. Then, Carrie, if we just go to the bottom section, there's another set of committees. Airport and Land Use is Director Rose. California Special District Association, Director Joyce Sunderson. She and I will both attend the meeting next week. Zone 11A is Director Austin. LAFCO, Director Villa. The Regional Water Quality Control Board is Gibson. And then I will continue to do the NCMA technical group.
I request to, I really can't make it to those LAFCO meetings because I have a lot of appointments at that time, so I'd rather not. It's too early. It's like...
It's 9 o'clock.
It's appointment time early. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, this isn't one that you need to attend every LAFCO meeting. This would be more like if there's an issue pertaining to us, it would be good to have representation. And this isn't sitting on the LAFCO board, although they did recently go through a little bit of a board appointment. So if anyone else is interested, I think Director Villa's point is have at it. Come learn more about LAFCO. If not, we can keep it the way it is. And I can inform you, Director Villa, if there's a pressing need to attend that.
Say if anyone, if we wanted to go, if there was something about Oceano, we could go anyway, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So.
All right, then seeing that I think we're good on this, the final item before we go to public comment would be the board's pleasure for selecting a president and a vice president for 2026.
Well, I think I would like to, I think we should leave Shirley as, I think she would love to serve another term. I don't know, would you, Shirley, would like to serve a
Yeah.
As president, and would you like to stay as vice president?
Sure.
So I'd like to nominate Shirley Gibson and as president and Director Rose as vice president.
So should we take public comment?
We have a nomination. We don't have a second yet. We would want a second.
Yeah, I'll second it.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, now. Okay, public comment? Anyone? Okay, nope, okay. Okay, so bring it back to the board for a vote.
Yeah, and I might suggest that a board member make a motion similar to this, that we proceed with the amended committee assignments, including Director Joyce Sunnison as the new representative of the OSIP committee, and the motion to have President Gibson and Vice President Rose stay on. That would encompass all of the actions that we've taken for this item.
So moved.
Okay, we have a first.
A second.
And a second. Roll call.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Vice President Rose?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
And President?
Yes. Okay. Okay, that was good. So we'll move along to, oh, we have OPARC yet. Sorry. Item E.
Okay, item 8E is discussion and consideration of the OPARC fiscal year 25-26 goals. In reviewing the bylaws, we noticed that there is a provision in there that says OPARC should inform the board of their anticipated activities for the upcoming year and should have goals for the year. And OPARC met yesterday, and a draft version of the goals that I worked with Director Villa and Director Joyce Sunnison, the OPARC committee, those goals were reviewed and discussed at OPARC yesterday, and OPARC, I think, unanimously supported the three goals. And I'll just recap them briefly. I know Director Villa did it already, but the first one essentially says all members bring support, positivity for benefiting park and recs in the community. The second one is determine a tangible course of action to transition the committee from a subsidiary of OCSD to an independent nonprofit. Probably the same mission, but they can determine their mission if they still want it to be improving parks and recreation opportunities in Oceano. And the third one is to continue to seek grant and other funding for programs, activities, and committee for the foreseeable future. And I put in here the final piece is partnering with OCSD as an as-needed basis. So what that means to me is from a staff standpoint, it'll be less work to maintain the OPARC committee. But I think if there's a salient opportunity to go after a grant and we could assist a nonprofit with going after money, maybe we need to administer it, maybe we need to receive it, whatever the case may be, I certainly am willing, and I would ask the board to support that future activity in the event that a new committee may not be able to do everything they need to seek a grant. So that's what's intended with number three. And like I said, OPARC reviewed them yesterday and supported them unanimously. And so these would be the goals for the committee for the remaining fiscal year. I'm happy to take any questions from the board.
No, I don't think I have any. Any questions about OPARC? No? Okay. I guess we can take public comment.
Good evening, April Dury. Listening to the goals of the OPARC, which I think are wonderful, and addressing the spirit in which, if you're going to be a member of OPARC, how to conduct yourself out in the community, et cetera, I think that's great. I'm hoping that maybe OPARC could contemplate some rules about when meetings are disrupted, how will they be handled, how the general public will be handled when it's disrespectful during a meeting, and it hampers the ability to have a productive meeting. So maybe down the road, that's something Parks and Rec can think about and to address, because right now, nothing's happening, and the meetings are being disrupted, and you're not able to get important things done. So I would hope that down the road, you would contemplate that.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? Okay, we'll bring it back to the board.
So this would be an action just to accept and approve the goals for the remaining fiscal year for OPARC as submitted by the committee.
Okay. Somebody want to make a motion?
Okay, I motion that we,
action discussion. Accept the the O Park or Oceana Parks and Recreation Committee goals for 25-26 fiscal year.
I second that.
Okay, we have a first and a second. Roll call.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Vice President Rose?
Yes.
And President Gibson?
Yes. Okay, thank you for that. And we don't have any hearing items?
We do not.
Okay, and written communications.
Yeah, just a few items to briefly touch on, President Gibson. We did receive communication from the County of San Luis Obispo Board of Supervisors requesting our legislative support for extending the unitary tax for Diablo Canyon. And this happened over the break, and I did feel like it was a good thing for us to do. We received about $6,500 a year for the past 10 years through that state legislation, which has expired. And the reason why it's expired was because the Diablo Canyon service was supposed to expire in 2025. But that service has since been extended. And I know the school districts, the county, the special districts, we've all been affected by the fact that the legislation ended and the operation of the treatment plant continues. So the main point is here, we want to partner with the county to see if we can get that legislation renewed and the unitary tax reinstated. Okay. And then the last two we've touched on, and that's simply the negative test results on the PFAS.
Okay, yeah. Okay, future agenda items. Directors want something on future agenda? Okay, and we don't have closed session, so we're going to adjourn. Does somebody want to make a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Second.
On your Christmas thing.